This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
She's a nagger.
Oh, she nags.
She nags.
She nags.
You hang out with the band more than you hang out with me.
I don't care how pretty you are.
Do all women sound nasally? Have you ever noticed that when a guy decides to do a female voice, they all go like this? Have you ever noticed that?
Well, all women are nasally. How do you want me to impersonate?
Class is in.
Let's talk about this week's show.
Okay.
There is a Van Halen documentary that got released about 2 years ago, and I've watched it 11,000 times. Mm-hmm. In there is a guy named Mark Stone. I know I've brought him up a couple times on the show before. Mark Stone is known as the guy who was the original bassist for Van Halen back when they were Mammoth and they were Genesis for a little while until mm-hmm. they realized there was a Genesis across the pond and went, we probably should change our name here, mm-hmm. before they really became a massive band and before, obviously, Michael Anthony joined the group. Mm-hmm. Mark Stone is also known as the guy who designed the original Van Halen wing logo, that Ooh. VH with the wings where the V and the H sort of nestle against one another.
Yeah.
Mark Stone left the group because he didn't like the constant having to play backyard parties, the fact that you know got up early and went to bed late. And if you're going to do this, you're a hamster on a wheel. You know, you're only as good as your next gig.
So he voluntarily left?
He split. He actually is a bit of a genius, was a fan of school and wanted to go on with that. And left on good terms with the guys, mm-hmm. and they still like him and he them. I mean, there's no animosity between them,
sure.
and he makes it very clear that he still knows them, and, you know, good for them.
Parted on good terms, didn't burn any bridges.
No concerns.
Hey, guys, this isn't the life I looked for. With all due respect,
that's right.
I'm out.
Have at it. You know, shake hands. Good luck to you. Gone.
Uh-huh.
He even has the piece of paper. He showed it during the documentary where he graphed out the original logo, mm-hmm. which he then painted on the head and cabinet that Eddie Van Halen used to record Van Halen 1.
All right.
I mean, this guy was part of the beginning.
Sure.
But then he made a statement. He said, I know they say don't leave before the magic happens. Well, he left before the magic happens. And I thought to myself, how many people left before the magic happened?
Probably quite a few.
Yeah. So I started doing some research. I have for you today a whole bunch of people who left before the magic happened.
So these are all going to be people that you give me a name and I go, who?
Huh?
They're not in insert band name.
But I'm going to tell you about the people, their story, and how they are now working apparently at the Stuckey's on I-10 when in reality they could have been in one of the biggest bands in the world.
Well,
we gave Mark Stone a little bit of oomph, so here is one he could have been playing on but is not, from Van Halen 1. Here's Ice Cream Man. It's not Mark Stone.
Nope.
It's Michael Anthony. And when they tour this coming time, it's going to be Wolfgang. But it's not Mark Stone. God bless you, Mark Stone. Nice job. Love the logo, but you got out before the magic happened. We'll do it for an hour here on Rock School.
Dedicate one to the ladies. Summertime sip, babe, need something to keep you cool. Now summertime sip, babe, need something to keep you cool. Better look out now.
Talking about don't leave before the magic happens here on Rock School. You like Def Leppard?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who's the drummer now for Def Leppard that just has the one arm?
Oh, Rick Allen.
Rick Allen. Okay.
Great.
Ever heard of a guy named Tony Kenning?
Huh? Who? What?
Tony Kenning. Tony Kenning, ladies and gentlemen.
Who's that?
Tony Kenning was the original drummer of Def Leppard.
Really?
Okay. Tony Kenning formed a band called Atomic Mass in 1977. It's not a bad name. You know, I know it's very high school and that kind of thing. In 1977, Atomic Mass morphs into Def Leppard. Okay?
Yeah. So it was his band?
Well, one of the ones that he helped form. Mm-hmm. It morphs into Def Leppard. Now, all the people aren't in place yet, but it's still Def Leppard. And they created a bootleg album called War Child.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually starting to move. They're starting to go on their way. Here's the problem. Kenning quits the band. Why? Because soon after that, they pick up a few other people, Steve and Steve Clark. And when Kenning leaves, Rick Allen answers. He's only 13 at the time, by the way.
Rick Allen.
Yeah. And he has to be escorted on the stage inside of the, you know, the places they play.
Sure.
And brought back out. But he finds a, I think it's a newspaper article that says Leppard looking for a new skin player. Mm-hmm. And he shows up and says, I want to be your skin player. This Kenning guy, why does he leave? Why is it always? It's a girl. His girlfriend was angry at him because he was spending too much time with the band and not enough time with her. What do you say at this point?
How
many times does he wake up in the morning, pick up an LP and go, could have been this?
Yeah.
Could have been this.
Where do you want to go eat, honey? Oh, I'm sorry. We can't afford there.
That's right. We could have. Uh-huh. Could have been this.
Yeah.
There's another guy in Def Leppard called Pete Willis. Any idea?
No.
He was the original lead guitarist of Def Leppard. He played with them through High and Dry, On Through the Night, right up to Pyromania. As a matter of fact, he wrote most of the songs on those first two albums and most of the stuff on Pyromania. Wrote Photograph and a bunch of the hits on Pyromania.
Well, what happened to him?
He drank too much.
Oh.
He was becoming a real problem for the band and actually left. And in the Behind the Music thing on VH1 actually says, even though I left the band, even though I walked away when fame was, although they were, you know, famous.
I'm sitting here speaking this to you, which means
right.
I survived.
I survived. That's
hey, you know
his
what?
Basic concept.
I will not knock that man for that. You know, what
That's
do you
right.
take? You take the fame and a probable death by alcohol consumption?
That's right.
Or do you take, I survived and I get to say that I once was part of that?
That's right. So Tony Kenning basically walked away before it happened.
Now, Tony's an idiot.
Girl.
He's dumb.
I agree. Well, you don't know what the girl looks like.
It doesn't matter what
well,
the girl looks like.
I don't know. I've seen some ladies. Oh, Pete Willis, on the other hand, he actually got at least to taste fame and is still receiving royalties.
No, good for him.
Wrote a lot of the stuff on
Total polar opposites. You have one stupid decision, in my opinion.
Haven't seen the girl.
I don't care. And one really smart decision. Come on, let's play something.
Here's Armageddon at Leppard Rock School. What I did.
Oh, you don't know what she looks like.
Oh, well, you know, Kiss
what?
Said it best. Beth, I hear you calling, but me and the boys will be playing all night.
It doesn't matter how pretty she is.
Yes,
she's
it does.
A she. No, she's
yes.
a she's a nagger.
Oh, she nags.
She nags.
She nags.
You hang out with the band more than you hang out with me.
I don't care how pretty you are.
Do all women sound nasally? Have you ever noticed that when a guy decides to do a female voice, they all go like this? Have you ever noticed that?
Well, how,
all
what,
women
you
are nasally.
How do you want me to impersonate her?
You never hang
out with me.
Wow, that's an ugly woman right there. That wow. Do you know who Scott Rayner
no,
is?
No, I told you at the beginning of the show I don't
Scott
know any
Rayner.
Of these people. Okay. Now that you said it twice, I know exactly who it is.
He played on the 1997 album Dude Ranch. Now do
Dude,
it.
Dude Ranch?
Dude Ranch.
He was in Blink 182?
Yes, good for you.
He
yes.
was?
Yes, he was.
Which I know Blink 182.
Now, in which means if he played on Dude Ranch, he got to at least taste.
Well, what did he play?
Fame. Drums.
What?
Yes, ma'am.
No.
He played drums. The exact reason for his expulsion was never made public. However, it says that he was probably fired for drinking. In fact, the 2000 single Man Overboard is allegedly about his release.
Really?
Yeah. What do you do to get kicked out of Guns N' Roses?
Right.
What do you have to do to get kicked out of Blink 182?
Right. How much do you have to consume
That's right.
to where Tom DeLonge and Mark Hopper fire you?
That's right. Now, who was he replaced by?
Oh, Travis Barker.
You got got it.
One of my favorites.
What's the next album? You can probably do it right after.
Enema of the State.
You got it.
I love it.
To which he's sitting on the side going, you'll never, you know, I'm going to do him drunk. You'll never amount to anything without me. Kabloofki.
Dude, Barker is almost an icon
yeah.
in the percussion world.
And he gets to watch this happen. That's got to break your hump. You got to go find the girl who was, you know, dating Tony Kennedy. There you go. All the small things on Rock School. Go Blink 182 here on Rock School as we talk about those who left before the magic. Do you like My Chemical Romance?
I do.
Okay. Do you know a Matt Pelissier? I think that's
yes,
how it's pronounced.
Yeah, I know exactly who that is.
Well, no, actually, he was in the band long enough to actually get credit on some of their better albums.
Oh.
He was on Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge.
Okay.
Came out in 2004. He apparently then was kicked out a month after the album was released.
Why?
Well, two reasons it says here. Jared Way, the band's lead singer, refused to comment, but it was leaked out. One of those things where we won't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then through press releases, it makes its way out, you know, the way of the digital world. It says here he was fired because he made too many mistakes on stage, which isn't really good. If you can't reproduce the music live on stage, or when you go out there, you are just so terrible.
Yeah.
You know, who are you?
Hmm.
You know, I remember watching the Spice Girls.
Uh-huh.
There's five of them.
Yes.
And then when they were on Saturday Night Live, they had three backup singers. Really? There's five of you.
You really
need the backup singers? And then I think it was the next week, Boys to Men came out. And it was the four of them.
Yeah.
I know they're touring now. There's only three of them. But there was four at the time.
Sure.
And all they had was a stand-up bass player with them. And they were perfect.
Cool deal.
You know, that's here's musicianship and built group.
Right,
you know,
right.
That kind of thing. Apparently, he made too many mistakes on stage and was unwilling to play with a metronome.
Oh, dude, you got to play with a metronome. I'm sorry, okay?
Well, I kind of agree with that. If the band wishes to, you don't always have to, but if the band wishes to play with a click track to stay on time,
right.
if that's what it takes, you know, you do it. And if that's what it takes to stay on. But apparently those two things meant the end of it.
Look here. So. I played in a band, and the lead guitarist and I were very good friends, and that's why he was able to say to me, you need a metronome, because I use some effects on my guitar to do like some delay special effects or deal.
And if you're off time,
and if I'm off time, his delay deal will show him.
Sure.
So he said, you need a metronome. And I didn't want to play with one because I didn't really know how.
Tough luck.
But I learned,
yeah.
and guess what? It made us a better band.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. The things that have to happen, you know, I don't want to play with tapes. Well, then we need to hire a keyboardist and more money's coming out of your pocket.
Sure.
Oh, I think we'll get a track, you know.
Right.
Hello, KLSU. Thanks for running us here on Tiger Radio.
Hello, KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana. After these people leave the band, there's a special home in Shreveport.
That's right.
And that's where they go.
Where they all sit around with blankets over their laps.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at one point in time in Guns N' Roses. No, you weren't.
Steven Adler's over there, too. Huh?
That's right. And that's why he speaks, as
that's
if he's
right.
100 years old.
That actually is pretty close.
Get us on Facebook. Search Rock School Radio Show. And remember, every Thursday before the show airs, I actually go on and give three rather large, long trivia questions that actually expand upon what's going to be in the show.
Unless I do it first.
Well, and he doesn't do it first very often, but when he does, it really upsets me. Back in a minute, Rock School. Here's a band I don't think we have ever actually played on this show before, the Gin Blossoms. No.
I think you may be right.
Yeah, the Gin Blossoms.
I don't remember ever playing them.
At least some of the members are from Central Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
And before I was here in Louisiana, I taught in Central Pennsylvania.
Sure.
And I was there right as the Gin Blossoms were starting to go kapoof,
mm-hmm.
right as they were starting to explode. So they were sort of the big thing.
Uh-huh.
And they were coming back to sort of do a thank you for helping us out, you know, concert. And I mean, I had just arrived
mm-hmm.
and the Gin Blossoms were just taking off. So
sure.
it was sort of the big thing. And I'm like, who are these people? And poof. And, you know, now they're being played on the radio. There's only one thing worse, I guess, than being fired right before your band goes kablooey.
What is it?
And that's being fired and having written the hit songs that make them go kablooey. Now, they had two monsters, one called Hey Jealousy.
Yes, I remember
And Found
that one.
Out About You.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, both of them got tons and tons of radio airplay.
I know both of them very well.
The person that wrote them was Doug Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after he wrote them and after a short tour, he gets fired.
For what?
Alcoholism.
That'll do it, dude. Yeah. That'll do it every time.
So they kicked him out of the band. And as much as I'd like to sort of make light of that, he goes ahead and commits suicide in 1993.
Wow.
So it basically that was his entire existence. And when he saw no way out after that, he took his own life in 1993. So
I mean, it's a six in one hand and half a dozen in the other, Doc, because the band, you can't operate like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't operate like that. So you have to part ties with the person, but at the same time, you run the risk of, you know, when someone has that little bitty taste of fame and knowing that he had written those songs, you gotta know that it probably destroyed him.
Well, it did. And so here's one of his tunes. This is Hey Jealousy, Gin Blossoms, Rock School. Hey, Jealousy, right here on Rock School, as we talk about those that left before the magic happened. Welcome to the bottom of the hour. My name is Joe Burns.
Chad P.
Let's do 7 days and 70 seconds and take a little break. Get back to leaving before the magic happens. These dates, Monday, August 1st through Sunday, August 7th. Chad has Monday. Go.
My notes here. Okay. Here we go. Ready?
What is that?
Monday, August 1st, back in 1981, Music Television, also known as
MTV.
There you go. Premiered on cable stations in the United States. And the first music video played was
Buggles, Video Killed the Radio Star.
Very nice.
Okay. Tuesday, August 2nd, 20 years ago, singer Rick James and Grammy-winning King of Funk is arrested for allegedly imprisoning and torturing a 24-year-old woman for 3 days at James' home in Hollywood Hills, California.
Can't lock me up. I'm Rick James.
Cocaine's a heck of a drug, isn't it?
August 3rd in 1963, the Beatles make their last appearance at the Cavern Club. It was their 294th. Appearance, and apparently they have a cutoff at 294.
Thursday, August 4th, 1958, Billboard debuts its Hot 100 chart. Ricky Nelson's Poor Little Fool is the first number one song.
August 5 in 1976, NBC Television airs The Beach Boys, It's Okay. That's the group's 15th anniversary special.
Saturday, August 6th, 15 years ago, Pearl Jam's Eddie Vedder videotapes the Ramones placing their handprints in cement on the Hollywood Rock Walk prior to a Ramones show at the Palace. It turns out to be their last show ever. And finally, Sunday, August 7th, 1974, Peter Wolf of the Jay Giles Band marries Faye Dunaway. Do you know why rock stars marry models and television and movie stars?
Why?
Because they can. All right. Rush. Did you know that Alex Lifeson and Geddy Lee were not the original two instrumentalists in Rush?
I did know that.
Yes.
But I would never be able to tell you who the first ones were.
Jeff Jones was the original bassist inside of Rush.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he split before there was really any fame whatsoever inside of Rush. So you can't really look at Jeff Jones and go, you dum-dum, what happened with you? Why did you, you know? Geddy Lee came in real close to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson, you know, poof, we're really right at the beginning. Jeff Jones is really a footnote in the world of Rush.
Mm-hmm.
John Rutsey is the guy that you have to look around and go, what happened?
Sure.
Rutsey was the drummer on their first album.
Yes, we've talked about him, so I actually knew his name and that he was there before Neil Peart.
Rutsey apparently was given the role as chief lyricist in the same way that Neil Peart writes the lyrics.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, Alex Lifeson and Geddy Lee are not lyricists. They don't want to be lyricists. They want to hand it over.
See, so you stupid little drummer jokes don't fly in Rush.
Apparently not. Apparently, I am wrong about Rush. Rutsey, however, when it came time to deliver the lyrics, didn't. He, when the day of recording came, he looked at what he had written and went, and ripped them up.
What?
And that apparently started the sort of nail in the coffin of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
He had trouble making band dates, had diabetes, and these health concerns really gave him trouble with extended tours.
Right.
And although he did complete the album and did complete the first tour, he basically said to the guys at the end of the tour, I can't keep up with this.
Sure.
You're going to have to...
Well, you know, it's
That's it.
I've never lived the life of a rock star, but from what I understand, it's not easy.
Yeah.
It takes a tremendous toll on you physically and mentally.
He couldn't do it. And he couldn't do it. And you know he had to watch it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Had to watch it happen. In came Neil Peart and Rush went on.
But again, this guy's got his health. You know, Rutsey left the band and was able to live.
Well,
you know, continue to exist.
Gain his health for a while. Gain his health for a while. Here's Lakeside Park. Rock School.
Let me ask you something before we proceed.
Okay.
You said right before we played that Rush song that Rutsey broke out of the band and lived for a while.
Well, he lived till 2008, I think.
Oh, I didn't know
he had a heart attack.
I didn't know he had passed.
Yeah, because of diabetes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Well, that was just a few years ago. So obviously, he broke away from the band. What, in the 70s?
Yeah, it was late 70s. I don't know the actual years of the Rush albums. You'd have to look it up on whatever the discography of their website.
Uh-huh.
But Rutsey was on Rush, which was the first Rush album, and then the second Rush album was Peart. So that's when the split occurred,
mm-hmm.
and then Rutsey lived till 2008.
Okay, well, so he still made the right decision for him as far as you know, his physical well-being. Well, imagine he had diabetes while he was in the band. Imagine what would have happened had he stayed on the road with them.
I guess he may
have not made it till 2008.
Entirely possible.
You know, but
and,
I mean,
it sounded like it was wearing on him mentally as well, because they say that the day he was supposed to record the first album, mm-hmm. he had the lyrics and ripped them up.
Yeah.
So that just sounds like it was wearing on him mentally.
I'm sure that's no easy task either. I'm reading the Steven Tyler autobiography and just, you know, looking at what he put himself through to write the perfect song.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't want that responsibility.
You like Gwen Stefani?
Gah.
Oh, we'll see. Now all of a sudden what she looks like matters.
No, you can't turn that around. Gwen Stefani would never tell me that I jam with the boys more than I hang around with her, because she's in a band.
You a hollerback boy?
She hella fine.
Yeah, that's right. She has a brother named Eric Stefani.
So?
Well, it matters for this little thing.
Oh.
He's a former keyboardist of the band, No Doubt, and was on their album Tragic Kingdom.
Oh, good for him.
Right after the album was released, even before the tour, he says, I don't want to do this anymore, and he splits.
Okay. Bye.
The band goes mm-hmm. and takes off and starts to have a string of hits.
You know what, though? I don't feel sorry for him.
Why not?
He's still Gwen Stefani's brother.
Ew. he splits. Now, this is you wondering, does he belong on this list? Does he belong on the list of leaving before the magic happens? Because he splits to become an animator.
Okay.
And he joins the animation team of The Simpsons.
Oh, he's doing all right.
That's what I'm thinking. Does he belong on this list?
You back up. Don't say ew. I'm not talking about that. You know. I'm just saying, no. He enjoys the fame of being a famous rock star's family.
I guess.
Okay, so he can go to any backstage deal that he wants to.
I guess.
He can get to go see any one of their shows.
But can walk around in public.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he gets the best of both worlds.
All right.
And he gets to say, yeah, one time I did that.
I guess. I that would drive me up a tree, but I guess. And I don't have any famous brothers or sisters. It's just a girl, no doubt. Rock School.
Take this pink ribbon off my eyes. I'm exposed, and it's no big surprise. Don't you think I know exactly where I stand? This world is forcing me to hold you.
Okay, next break here on Rock School. We're not going to play this, but here's two from the Beatles that apparently got out before the magic happened.
Uh-huh.
One did it on his own, however, never got to see the Beatles' success. You know the name Stuart Sutcliffe?
Nope.
The original bassist of the Beatles. He left in 1961. They were they the Silver Beatles at that point? I don't know the timeline well enough. They weren't the Quarrymen, but I think they were still the Silver Beatles at that time. He helped come up with the moniker The Beatles,
mm-hmm.
along with John Lennon. That whole story about a flaming pie. I saw a man on a flaming pie, and he said, "Ye shall be Beatles." That John Lennon says that's all wrong. That I believe they were the Beatles or the Silver Beatles at that time. But he helped come up with the name. But in 61, Sutcliffe says, "I don't want to be in the band anymore," and he splits and goes off to the Hamburg College of Art.
Okay,
and splits. The problem is, he dies in 62.
Mm.
He has what's known as a cerebral paralysis at age 21 and dies.
Wow.
So even though he leaves the band, he never gets to see their success.
Sure.
The other member of the Beatles, Pete Best.
Yeah.
Now, see, he gets to see it. He was with them through the Cavern Club. He was with them through a lot of that. And then when it's about to go Kablufsky, Epstein comes up to him and says, "I'm sorry, you're no longer a Beatle.
Hmm.
You're gone."
Hmm.
I mean, he was with them through the Silver Beatles and all of that. Why did he get kicked out? Well, there's two stories. There's Pete Best's story, and then there's the Beatles' story.
Okay.
Pete Best says he got kicked out because he was taking too many girls away from them. He was too cute. He was too good a musician for them. All his stories show him to be really high end,
sure.
and the Beatles to sort of be low rent. The overriding idea of why he got kicked out from the Beatles side, although there's never been an actual press release given, was that he just really wasn't part of the band.
Mm-hmm.
There was sort of this little band of brothers between the three of them.
Right.
And he was never in.
Just a little disconnect,
huh? What's that?
A little bit of a disconnect.
Yeah, he wasn't part of the in crowd, and it's been
said. I think I'll buy that story. I've never heard of anybody getting fired for being too cute.
Yeah. When Ringo Starr came in, it was said, I think it was John Lennon that said it, he's not as good a drummer as he should be, but he's a great Beatle. So, I mean, he just gelled with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He got to spend all his time with these people. You might as well like them.
Yeah.
Hello, Radio Universidad, Salamanca, Spain. Thanks. You run the radio show.
Hello, WBSD in Burlington, Wisconsin.
Back in a minute. We're going to do some more people that got out before the magic happened. Back in a minute. Rock School. You like Faith No More?
I do.
Mike Patton. How do you hold a microphone when you are singing with boxing gloves on? Did you know that he wasn't the original singer of Faith No More?
Did not.
Chuck Mosley.
Chuck Mosley.
Ladies and gentlemen,
that's
Chuck
a cool name.
Mosley. Chuck Mosley.
Hi, I'm Chuck Mosley.
Chuck Mosley helped put together Faith No More, the original singer. Chuck Mosley said, "I am not gelling with this band, and I'm leaving because of creative differences."
Happens.
Yeah, and he split. And he went on to front up a band called Bad Brains, which broke up almost immediately upon the reception of Chuck Mosley. So Chuck blew apart two bands.
Wow.
Mike Patton comes into Faith No More, and they put out this song, Epic.
Love it.
Rock School. Last break on Rock School. Didn't we mention Steven Adler a little earlier on in the show?
Yeah, as part of a joke, we did.
Now, I can do a story on Guns N' Roses, but it doesn't involve Steven Adler.
Really?
Yes, I can.
Well, Steven Adler was on the Appetite for Destruction LP when they just exploded.
That's right, and got kicked off.
And got kicked out.
Yeah, because apparently they forced him to take heroin and then kicked him out because of taking heroin.
But you say this is not going to be about him?
No. Do you know the two bands that formed to create Guns N' Roses?
L.A. Guns and something Roses.
Hollywood Rose.
Hollywood Rose, okay.
Right. Tracy Gunn.
Who?
Tracy Guns.
Who's that?
He was the original guitarist for Guns N' Roses.
Get out of town.
That's right. Well, he came over from L.A. Guns.
Uh-huh.
Right, when the thing came together. Now, he went back and reformed L.A. Guns when he got kicked out.
Uh-huh.
The problem is, he wouldn't show up for rehearsals.
Well, you got to do that.
Well, see, he was in a fairly popular L.A. band. Guns N' Roses weren't Guns N' Roses mm-hmm. at this point in time.
Sure.
They were just another L.A. band kicking around hoping to get picked up.
Right.
So, you know, he wasn't showing up. He was acting like the jerk that he was. He had had a little bit of success, and he wasn't showing up for rehearsals.
Right.
So he wasn't showing up, and they kicked him out, and they brought in this guy. You may have heard of him, Slash.
Yeah, he wears a top hat.
Yeah.
Curses on little, television.
Yeah, the little things around the end of the top hat.
Do you know his real name?
Saul something.
Thomas.
Saul Thomas.
Saul Thomas. Yeah. Very good.
Well, he shows up, and L.A., you know, Tracy Guns says, arr, 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 and he goes off, and he reforms, you know, L.A. Guns. Name for me any Guns N' Roses song.
I can name plenty.
Sure. Name for me any L.A. Guns song.
I can't.
My point. That's going to wrap it up. Don't leave before the magic. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
Class is dismissed.
I quit.
Yesterday, there were so many things.